Let's freaking go. A very happy Easter Sunday. Tomorrow, we are announcing one of our biggest giveaways on PHO. We got a super fun video about an LSU legend whose life is about to change here in just a few days. So we wish you once again a very happy Easter, a very happy NFL draft week. A lot of our LSU Tigers, their lives are about to change in a major way. Shout out to Jay Johnson getting it done at home this weekend versus Alabama. And then on top of that, a big shout out to Jay Clark, LSU Gymnastics. Their season is over, but they did make it all the way to the Final Four. And I know a lot of you were not happy with the scoring over the weekend, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to talk about Merod Wilson, and I say Wilson, Watson. The first thing is this would be the one player that I would pursue probably more than anyone else currently in the portal, because I actually do think Merod Watson can play. He is young as well, so if you do get him and he comes in and has a really good season, you're going to at least get him for one extra year if he decides, of course, to stay. It's a year-by-year basis world that we're living in. But I sat down and watched him after his announcement on Friday that he was going to enter the transfer portal, and he's good. He's just flat-out good. Very scheme versatile, can sit on a double team in the A-gap. He also, in particular versus Georgia Tech, played some defensive end as a thicker, run-stuffing five-tech, think Stephon Tuitt, prime Calais Campbell type of player. To use a more modern example, think Rashard Lawrence. He's probably not quite that good, but I could see him being that good. We're not in it at this juncture. I've heard Ohio State, Texas, and Georgia are the leaders, and that should tell you how solid of a player he is. 15 tackles and one sack doesn't really look all that good, but his PFF grades are indeed very good. And obviously, if you're getting a run-stuffing defensive tackle, a nose type of player, you're not really getting an elite pass rusher. So, still a guy who I think his best football is ahead of him and was an overall good player at Syracuse, once again, as just a true freshman. Now, I am pointing him out because you notice I don't do this very often. There are a million kids whose names enter the transfer portal. In fact, a five-star defensive tackle for a team that we play this next season entered the transfer portal. And like Watson, he is a year two or rising year two defensive tackle, and his name is David Stone. David Stone did not play really at all last year for Oklahoma, and he decided to enter the portal. He's now back in the portal. I think Watson can really play. But it goes to show you that I'm very selective over guys that do enter. Now, do I think LSU is interested? I made a few phone calls, wasn't really able to get an answer. It was also Easter weekend. So there you go. And I'll be honest, because we're doing such a big video tomorrow on Will Campbell, I do want to let everyone know that I actually kind of shut my phone off this weekend, spent as much family time as I could. This was my first Easter without my father-in-law. This is by far his favorite holiday. So I spent a lot of time with that side of my family and also spent a bunch of time with my family today. And one of LSU's most prominent personnel department members, Sherman Wilson, tweeted out that he saw the movie Sinners today. I also saw the movie Sinners today, and you guys know it takes a lot for this early in the show for me to go opposite sports. It was really that good. That's all I got to say. You should go see it. Now, I am of the belief that LSU baseball fans are feeling really good about winning this series this weekend versus a good Alabama team. First thing I'll say about LSU baseball this weekend, we'll get back into football, is, my God, Ben McDonald might be the best color analyst I've ever heard in any sport. He really is that good, that entertaining. Obviously, I'm biased because he's an LSU legend. But on top of everything that this guy does, he also does the Baltimore Orioles games. He's really good. I really enjoyed him and Tom Hart on the broadcast. I know a lot of people were biffled by a few Jay Johnson pinch hitting decisions over the weekend. But no matter what, Alabama's a good team. You win 2 of 3. You already have 2 sweeps on the season. Obviously, you would have liked to have finished out what happened. But whatever the case may be, I still think LSU baseball is in prime Omaha position. But at this juncture, I don't think anybody is really worried so much about Omaha. They're more so worried about, can this team get a super regional? Because Omaha, I mean, you're really just looking so far ahead. But at this juncture, LSU, if you're going to get a super regional, you need to be a top 8 seed. I think LSU is well on track. Obviously, they dipped in the rankings. They were the number 8 ranked team over the weekend. But if you win 11-6, 4-3, and then lose 7-4, and you win an SEC series, they will move up in the rankings. Now, obviously, the big story is going to be next weekend, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday series that you do get in Alec Box Stadium versus Tennessee for a 6:30, 7 p.m., 2 p.m. Series where, you know, Tennessee, they're Tennessee, right? Defending national champions, Tony Vitello. I don't know anything about him. You guys know I don't do college baseball like that, but I'm very happy Jay Johnson got it done this weekend. Now, as far as football is concerned, we are also 1 week removed from the spring scrimmage. We're also done with spring football together. Is there anything we learned about LSU this spring cycle? The answer to that is no. It's just no. Nothing definitive for me that I learned during this spring cycle. Were there a few interesting things that happened this spring cycle? Yes, there were a few interesting ways that LSU elected to rotate the first, second, and third units. I also believe some of that was strategic. I really do believe that. I think some of it is, well, we don't want to hurt this person's feelings. We want to keep our depth, because depth is near impossible in this day and age in college football. So I am of the belief that some of that was at play. Because I'll be honest, I don't think LSU is in a position where they want to lose anyone. Because as is the case every year, with not only LSU, but every other team, there are guys that you have in your starting lineup that come week one aren't starting lineup material. And you want to give yourself as much wiggle room as you possibly can with that. Now, of course, LSU is also in recruiting mode. They're also in portal evaluation mode. And for right now, before we get to some of your very astute comments, I want to share a few position groups that I would kick the tires on if I'm LSU. Okay. The first, obviously, is safety. That to me is the biggest. I think even more so than offensive line. I do think an offensive line pickup would be next on the list, and it doesn't matter which position. I think any of them would be a welcome addition for a unit that I am not sure is settled yet at all. And the last position I would seriously consider is defensive tackle. Now, I know I've been pushing for a running back, but based on what I've heard from our Caleb Jackson video on Thursday, there are people that truly do believe he still has some juice. Now, what's interesting as far as Caleb Jackson is concerned, I remember going back and reevaluating his true freshman season. You know, some of his best plays as a true freshman came on kickoff returns. You know, he had a big one versus Auburn, and he also had one versus Grambling that actually should have been housed. He was tackled by his own guy, Sage Ryan. I know that sounds crazy, but that is how it happened. Okay. So there you go. Now, I just got a message that the Twitter stream didn't start. I don't know exactly why that is. Let's see if it actually gets going here. wasn't anything. I got an email from StreamYard saying I didn't go. It's okay. Elon doesn't like me. But, you know, I remember seeing some of the film, and his best plays were on kickoff return. So why is that relevant? Well, when Jaden Daniels is your quarterback, linebackers and defensive linemen have to play on their heels at all times. It's just what you have to do versus Jaden Daniels in the way that we ran the Dimbrock scheme. So Caleb Jackson, as many of you know, had some good runs with Jaden Daniels. He also had some good kickoff returns. I do not want Caleb Jackson returning kicks next season. We have arguably the best kickoff returner ever in the SEC with Berrien Brown on our team. We also have two other players that have housed kickoffs last year in Xavion Thomas and Aaron Anderson for touchdowns. But what I learned watching Caleb Jackson is if you give him a head of steam, if you can get him going downhill, that's where he succeeds. So I would heavily recommend going under center. I would heavily recommend using him in pistol formation because at a shotgun, that obviously isn't what you do. You don't have a head of steam when you're getting a handoff at a shotgun. And it's a little bit more predictable where you're actually going to go with the football. So, you know, I've gone back and I was like, maybe I was overhyping Caleb or I was just wanting him to succeed. His press conference really, really, really excited me. But that's the question I would answer. How could we get number 28 the football going downhill? And look, he might be a moot point regardless because Caleb Jackson is really good. And Harlan Berry looks like he could be the real freaking deal. So there you go. Now, we're going to get to all your comments. Let's go to Kevin. Everybody wants to talk about Sarah Williams. We are a women's basketball channel second behind LSU football. It's one of my favorite things on planet Earth. So let's talk about Sarah Williams. You know, the first thing that's interesting is it is spelled S-E-R-A-H. I love a good mix-up. Transfer from Wisconsin. She looks good. The film looks amazing. Do we need her? Yes. Yes. We need more juice. Obviously, as far as youth is concerned, we had a few of our girls this weekend playing in a different All-Star game. I think it was a Jordan Brand Classic, or it might have been a different one, because I think Jordan Brand was a few weeks ago. But they played in one over the weekend. And LSU took her to the supper club. Michaela Williams really did a lot of the recruiting. So her taking time out of her offseason, that doesn't shock you. Anyone that's listened to our show will tell you that. They've already brought in a good transfer from Eastern Carolina. We talked about her over the weekend. And she's played good competition. She put up a good game versus South Carolina earlier this year. Her name slips my mind. But you know, they got Flage tweeting about her. The coaches are like, hey, let's get a press going here, literally and figuratively online. So really excited about the potential of her joining the lineup. I don't have any inside info as far as that is concerned. But what I could tell you is LSU really needs it. They do. All right. Now, I want to get to the most exciting thing about the next couple of hours here. I say next couple of hours. Next 48 to 72 hours, okay? We are really freaking excited to team up and do something really cool with Will Campbell. And Will, to me, is one of the best LSU football players of all time. Of all time. I think you can make a very strong case. He is the best offensive lineman to ever play here. Now, obviously, Andrew Whitworth is in that discussion. Kevin Moy and Alan Faneca are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So it's going to be hard for her, Will to overcome that. But when you factor in what he had to do, it was nothing short of incredible. So we'll talk more about that throughout this next week. But I really want to hammer home how excited I am for Will this next week. I really, really, really am. Now, I will share a few different things because I do get deep into the nitty-gritty of the NFL draft. And I want to share some movement that's been happening for a few players. Will Campbell is so heavily favored to go to the Patriots at this point, it would be shocking if he didn't. I would also say that I don't think minus 400, which is where it was for a good bit of this week, I do think that's a little too heavy based on what I've heard from scouts, what I've heard from, you know, various NFL sources that I've gathered throughout the years. I could see Mimbu go there. I could see the Patriots trading out of it. I mean, I could see a lot of different things. But, I mean, so every single mock draft has Will Campbell going number four to the Patriots. So, there you go. But one spicy name is Mason Taylor. I do think he can sneak it to the first round. He's been mocked in the first round a few times. And this could be a three tight end first round. Emory Jones, I think, will be a day three pick. I do think Miles Frazier and Garrett Dellinger have a higher likelihood of being day two. But, you know, it is interesting that you look at the Senior Bowl. Miles Frazier had a really good Senior Bowl. Garrett Dellinger was fine. Emory Jones had some rough days at the Senior Bowl. But do I think all four of them will get drafted? I do. So what does it say? A few things before we get to this next point. What does this say about LSU? That you are about to have four offensive linemen get drafted. Now, this isn't the first time that that's happened. We have had four offensive linemen get selected in a single draft before. Well, take that back. We've had three. 2019, Damian Williams, Cushenberry, Sadiq Charles. Was there a fourth? I think so. I'd have to go back and look. And our offensive line obviously was really good that year. But if you have four offensive linemen get drafted and you still can't run the ball, I don't care if a tortoise is at quarterback. I don't care. You should be able to run the ball. You should. Now, as our patrons know, by the way, separate from what we have coming up, we are still giving away a Ja'Marr Chase autograph uniform for all our patron signups. Please go sign for Patreon. We released a very, and it is just negative. You guys know I'm Mr. Positive, but one harsh truth about the LSU offense. We set a really bad record last year. Just go to Patreon. You can see it for yourself. Sign up today. And that record was penalties. Now, I wanted to get into this briefly. I don't want to get too much into the nitty-gritty because it might bore you. But we had a major, major, major penalty problem last year. And I don't think people quite understand how bad our offensive penalty problem was last year. And that destroyed our offense. Now, we had a bigger issue with it earlier in the season, but normally, when you have superior talent, and LSU had very, very, very good talent last year at all position groups, you don't need penalties, right? Normally, it's, hey, we don't have the dudes and we're trying to get a jump on the ball, or we're holding because, you know, the defensive tackles are dominating us or whatever. So what does it mean when an offense has a penalty problem? That means things are really difficult for you offensively. Confident teams don't commit penalties that are avoidable. They just don't. I don't think we were a confident team in our offense, in our scheme, in what we believed that would work out there for us on a play-to-play basis. So we had an alarmingly high amount of penalties. And that concerns me. That concerns me because teams that I consider to be the best teams are the ones that don't hurt themselves. And what's fascinating about the penalty problem that LSU had last year was we were the best team in all of college football last season when it comes to special teams penalties. We were also an elite team when it comes to defensive penalties per game. We were top 15 in the country in defensive penalties per game. So that doesn't mean overall, like normally a penalty-laden team, they're committing penalties pretty evenly across the board in all the phases. We can't shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, so much of our focus was, well, was it play calling? Was it nuts? Was it this or that? We just got to play smarter. We do. We hurt ourselves really badly last year. So I would ask myself this question. If I was in the doors at LSU, I would say, hey, why is this happening? What was the main reason for our penalties? Now, we did commit quite a few in a victory, a dominant victory versus Arkansas. But, you know, they also turned the football over a lot, and turning the football over is way worse than penalties. Okay? And, Chance, to your point, he was responsible for a fourth of them. Now, T. Mill watches all of our Patreon. He's the first to comment under all our Patreon pieces. All of them. He's the first, always. Him, Skipper, and Mike. They freaking eat up the Patreon film studies. Good to see you, man. Let's see. So, I'll touch on this. Sam is probably the sharpest LSU baseball mind in our chat. We messed around with them because he was the one that got our chat on fire with his Bear Jones comments earlier in the year. And it kind of sort of is prophetic. Like, you stood 10 toes down. You said something like, I don't remember what exactly you said, Sam, but you said something about Bear Jones that really ruffled some feathers, and it turned out that you're right. Like, he's in the middle of this slump. Look, it's weird at LSU baseball because they have depth. Now, we talked earlier in the stream about LSU football not having depth anymore. And all of college football teams don't have the depth. You can't really stockpile a talent like you used to in all of college football. All right. It's hard to do it in baseball as well. 11.7 scholarships. That's going to change, thankfully. But what makes it interesting is LSU baseball has a lot of great players. It's hard for Ashton Larson to play. Now, Ashton Larson had a good season last year. Hard for him to play on this team. Michael Braswell finished the season strong. Obviously, he's played a lot of third lately. It's hard to play. You know, he lost his shortstop job. You got Jake Brown. Should he play over Bear Jones? I don't think I'm qualified enough to answer that. But the single most important thing you can do as a hitter is hit home runs. And Bear Jones hits home runs. I would keep Bear Jones playing unless he just goes for like an all-time stinker. That's just a very unqualified opinion. I would also say that let's celebrate Chris Danfield. Holy crap. The dude is just a freaking vibe. I love the catch a few weeks ago with the white swag. But I love Chris Danfield. I really do. And I love that he's wearing Uno. A single digit, baby. So Chan says, Jake Brown needs to play before Josh Pearson and Ethan Frey. I'll never bench Josh Pearson if I'm Jay Johnson. My motto is, if you won me a College World Series, you keep your spot forever. And number 11 won us a College World Series with that ridiculous catch versus Florida. Now, of course, we're always going to remember the greatest LSU defensive play of all time, Trey Morgan flip. But that Josh Pearson catch versus Florida, holy! You know that feeling when you know, you feel a little queasy? Josh Pearson is that guy. Now, is he a career 240 hitter? No, he's not. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Okay. Now, coming up next, one minor, and I mean minor, Garrett Nussmeier fact I want to share with all of you.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging. Are you a diehard LSU fan and would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown, counter GY. You're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today, patreon.com/LSU football, and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. Alrighty, so Garrett Nussmeier will be a top five Heisman Trophy favorite going into next year. The last couple of Heisman winners were around that same mark. Travis Hunter, of course, not as highly favored as Jaden Daniels was the year before. Quarterback markets have gotten sharper. They just have. And one thing I really like about Garrett Nussmeier is he really could have held us hostage for more money or whatever. As far as Nico is concerned, he does end up going to UCLA, which goes to show, you know, just the blatant hypocrisy that exists in college football. Because I want you to really think about what could have happened if Garrett would have said, you know what, I want even more money. Give me $5 million to be your quarterback next season. We would have had to find a way to get it done. We just would have. But he might have done that. I don't know. I've not heard that. But look at what Nico did. He leaves Tennessee's room with just a true freshman and redshirt freshman. Then he goes to UCLA, who's already paid a quarterback. And their quarterback room already had six players in it. Okay. Six. Then they said, you know what? None of you are good enough. We're going to pay the guy that caused one of the biggest kerfuffles in college football history. And then on Instagram, flamed the school. His parents flamed the school, caught him multiple lies. And we are going to go to UCLA, where not only do they not have any direction whatsoever, they also just watched Nico's younger brother, Madden, tell UCLA F you on National Signing Day, and he flipped to Arkansas. So imagine the message that sends to UCLA. As crazy as this sounds, what Nico did to Tennessee might not be as bad as what UCLA is doing to their own team right now. Imagine telling your quarterback room, hey, none of you guys are good enough. We're going to go get a guy that only threw for 300 yards once in a Josh Heupel offense to come be our quarterback. That's what we're going to do. Oh, yeah. His younger brother also said an FU to y'all when he flipped from your room to an SEC school. And none of y'all are good enough. Imagine what that tells the rest of the team. The rest of the team's like, hey, can we get raises too? You go from Tennessee, cost of living in Cali goes up. Now, of course, you go home and your family doesn't have to travel as far to go see you play. You are back home. So there you go. That's good. But, you know, it's wild. It's wild how Garrett could have been that way. And maybe he was. I might be totally wrong. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Garrett Nussmeier is a saint. But his dad is. Get it? Because his dad's the new quarterback coach for the Saints. But look, I think Garrett Nussmeier is an outstanding kid. And by all accounts, people like him. Okay? Now, of course, I'm not around him every waning moment. And I think people can get carried away with the outstanding character labels that you give players. But whatever the case may be, I do appreciate Garrett Nussmeier. Okay? Now, next thing is this theme remains the same with LSU football. And it's crazy that this continues to happen. Guys that transfer from LSU go to other schools and practically do nothing. They do nothing. Happened again over the weekend. So, you know, I decided to do something I've never done before 2 years ago. You know, there's only so much time you have in a day. And the battle that I struggle with the most as a content creator in the football space is how much research do I want to give my content? How much editing time do I want to give my content compared to producing content? Right? You got to balance all of it when you edit and do it all together. Now, lucky enough, we have Lisi Dex Productions who makes a lot of our stuff look good. My friend Annie, she does a lot of our stuff behind the scenes. I'm lucky enough to have a pretty good support system, but 90% of everything you see is done by me. But what I decided to do a few years ago was just focus on one evaluation, on one player, and decide to yourself if you truly believe it's worth the resources to go after someone, okay? And that player I decided to do that for a few weeks ago was Jaylen Brown. A lot of you remember Jaylen Brown. He was a five-star receiver who ended up dropping in the rankings, still finishing the top 100, ended up going to LSU. And I decided to find as many Jaylen Brown high school games, as many Jaylen Brown one-on-one camp reps, as many Jaylen Brown track and field meets that I possibly could find. I also reached out to former teammates, coaches. I couldn't get in touch with any of Jaylen's coaches, but coaches that went up against him. And I decided to do a full eval. Had a small little dry erase board. And I grade every player that comes in, but I don't spend as much time in doing just one. And after watching him for a full week, I was like, man, number one, this is really, really hard to do. And then number two, I was like, he's not that good. I mean, I did a full video on it. It was like an hour and a half, premiered it. And now, you know, we're here. And I posted a lot of extra breakdowns of Patreon, gave my final grade on him. And over the weekend, Florida State dismissed him from the team. So I had heard of, and I kind of saw it as well, like he would take plays off in high school. And I was like, man, he had drop issues. And he wasn't just an overall versatile player. He wasn't a big guy. But, you know, I didn't really like saying any of that publicly because I was like, well, he's coming to LSU. You know, I freaking cheer for everybody that goes to LSU. And I said, man, I don't see it. And you can go back and look at our own Patreon grades. Kyle Parker outplayed him. And Shelton Sampson was also a very highly graded player. Shelton Sampson also didn't work out. I thought Shelton Sampson was very good. I wasn't the only one. But I was like, I just didn't see it with Jaylen Brown. I just didn't. And I factored everything in, the recruiting rankings and all of it. And what was funny with the recruiting rankings was I never really saw anyone like just say, hey, he's very, very, very good. It was more of, well, he's fast. He's fast. So I say that for a few reasons. Number one, as many of you know, I take player evaluation very seriously. I have a lot of misses and I have a lot of hits. All right. It is so hard to say a player isn't it, then is it? Okay. And that is why the portal is so difficult to sift through. I did this with the Watson kid who you see as a thumbnail. I watched as much as I possibly could of the Miami game and as much as I possibly could of the Georgia Tech game. Two very good ACC teams. And man, I was like, this guy is good. This guy is really, really, really good. Okay. But I couldn't see all the games. I couldn't see all of them. It is so, I cannot stress this enough. It is so hard to evaluate players. There are so many different factors. So many. Now, I don't say all of that Jaylen Brown thing because he was dismissed from Florida State. You know, they played him a lot. He wasn't any good this year for the Seminoles. Who was for them? But what I would recommend for everybody is ask yourself when you watch somebody in the portal, is this guy really a needle-moving player for our team? And I think that's where LSU is right now. You know, I was thinking about what Brian Kelly said, a few weeks ago. All right, and I say a few weeks ago, it was actually only a few days ago. You could go back and watch a video, Brian Kelly's bold claim. What is the big, big, big thing that he said? He wouldn't be shocked if they didn't make any portal adjustments this spring portal cycle. I disagreed with that, but man, it is sensory overload with how many players are in there. It is unreal. It is unreal. Sibley, 6,000 players in the portal. Speaking of speed, Jelani Watkins, holy crap, 10.03, 100-meter dash. All right. So for reference, Olympians run under 10 seconds. Olympians. That's how fast Jelani Watkins is. So that doesn't mean you're going to be a good football player. It doesn't mean that at all. But we do need to see if we have something and find a way to get a football in his hand some way, somehow. I would also, if I'm Jelani Watkins, consider, hey, track and field might just be my thing. But I hope he sticks it out with football and we can get football in his hand and see what he can do. Okay. So let's talk about AJ Halsey. Houston, defensive back. Is this who you're referencing in the chat? I know nothing about him, Alexander. You tell me. You tell me. You think he's the real deal? Well, Justin, I've not watched him. I would never just come in here and just tell you, hey, let's do it. I would need to go look at him. I didn't watch much Houston Cougars football last year. I just didn't. Let me see here. Let's see. Okay, make sure I don't miss any Twitter questions. Okay. Aya Pooh Bear. He would know. But yeah, Justin, I'm not going to lie to you. Here's what I'll do, though. I'll watch him, and I'll give you a full report on Tuesday or next time we go live. Spent a lot of family time today, and I try not to get fatigued with the portal. Let's see here. Gabriel Relaford, Jordan wants to talk. So really? You know I love Gabriel. Former PHL guest. Something about Gabriel. Is someone watched our interview with Gabriel Relaford recently And that person might want to come on PHL pretty soon. I would love to have him on. If that person might be watching. But I don't want to put the cart before the horse. Let's see. Liverpool gets the dub today? None of y'all wanted to talk about that? Slade's NFL prospects. Pretty good. I think he's going to get drafted on Thursday night. Slade Roy. Now, next thing, as we always do towards the end of live streams, we get into different topics. I may or may not have put a somewhat small but would pay out pretty well wager on the Minnesota Timberwolves to win the NBA title. Now, the biggest Anthony Edwards fan is Jordan. Jordan freaking loves some Anthony Edwards. I just like the Timberwolves. I do truly believe they can win the NBA title. Now, they shot the lights out versus LA. Nobody was beating them the other night versus the Lakers. Nobody. Okay? Nobody. But, man, Anthony Edwards, whew, Julius Randle, Rudy Gobert. Let's go to Sibley. Bryson Ross, 6'4 lockdown corner, 3.8 GPA, very wealthy, and needs to be at LSU. Jay Madison said, don't forget about Naz Reid. I'm a Naz Reid believer. His pull-up three is just so nasty. You know what? It's interesting, Sibley, as far as the money is concerned. This is very anecdotal. Very, very, very anecdotal. But I do wonder, with an unregulated NIL market and the fact that there are so many players that are sons of former professional athletes, I do wonder if kids that come from money and also happen to be elite recruits, are they easier to deal with during the portal cycle than parents who don't come from as much? Or parents that weren't elite athletes in their own right? You know, if you're the son of an elite athlete, and let's just say that you're a son of a professional athlete, guess what? If you're the son of an NBA or NFL player, you're a millionaire. It's just that simple. You're a millionaire. If you're not, you're probably not. Or you could be. You know, I spoke... This was 7 or 8 months ago. Someone with a previous team, not LSU team, and they were like a rotational piece in the portal, and I knew the player's father. He wasn't a professional athlete, but he came from a lot of money. So the kid was getting offers. It didn't affect him as much. It just didn't. Because the dad was very successful, and he was a banker. I just think it does matter. I really, really, really do think it matters. It doesn't put as much pressure on the kid, but I'll keep saying this till I'm blue in the face. I've spoken to two different sources, two different collectives over the past month. Number one, they're on pins and needles knowing that revenue sharing is coming. But number two, I think this is even bigger, is that they are tired of dealing with parents. Point blank, they are done with the parents. One said that the parents are far worse than the agents when it comes to the NIL. Far worse. Now, we'll say driving around and while working out for a little bit yesterday, I did listen to a full podcast from a sports business expert in the college realm, in particular college football. It was a guy by the name of Matt Brown. He does a podcast called Extra Points. And, you know, he shared a lot of behind the scenes of collectives and all of that. And boy, it's messy. It's messy. It is so difficult to deal with parents. Perfect example. Arkansas. They had a running back by the name of Braylon Russell who had a good true freshman season. Not great. He had a good true freshman season. In and out of the portal. Three times in the matter of 2 weeks. Three times. He had a decent game versus Tennessee. Said something on Twitter about an agent or something like that. After they had the biggest win they had in years. Then this portal in and out stuff before their bowl game. Kid's a good player. Turns out, dad was very involved. Kid wanted to be at Arkansas. His homegrown Arkansas kid. There's not a lot of great Arkansas high school football players. Period, when it comes to Power 5 Division 1 players, in and out, in and out, in and out, portal, 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 in and out, in and out. Dad pulling the strings. And the reason is because I think you guys could figure that out. You're just wanting to see if your market changes. I know this horse has been beaten dead. We should have had guardrails on this. The pass is a pass. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. Let's go to Sibley, who talks to athletes regularly, mentors athletes. I have heard basically the same thing. Because when you think about it, you know, if you're an agent, let's just say you're an agent representing a player, you probably have more players. But if you're a family member, you only have that one or sometimes two if you have a brother or sister. You got one shot at this, basically. Mello, good to see you. Let's go to Chance. Yeah, if I was Foster, I would have not touched Nico. Like I said earlier. Like, I just think it's I'll be honest. I do think we overrate the what kind of message it sends your team message or talking point. But I do think it sends a bad message to your team that you went out and got him. LA Mama, I put a lot of blame on Nico, but it's both of them, right? Nico posted on Instagram those terrible stories. I mean, well, he's only 20 years old. No other quarterbacks are doing that. Okay, let's go to Jay Madison. It wasn't a good weekend for Bryce Underwood. So there was a viral photo of his belly. His belly pulling a Zion, if you will. Don't overreact to that. They used to do that with Derek Jeter, speaking of Michigan athletes. I know this because I'm a Jeter fan. I'd say, oh, Jeter's kind of out of shape or whatever, and he was still elite all the way up until he retired. I don't care what type of shape you're in 12 months away from the start of the season. I just don't. I don't think it's a great look or whatever, but I don't care. Bryce did have a rough spring game, though. It did not look good. It just didn't. You know who else threw three interceptions in a spring game right to people? Garrett Nussmeier. Now, I understand the difference is Garrett wasn't paid what Bryce Underwood was paid. Garrett wasn't a five-star can't-miss quarterback. And, you know, Bryce has a really high likelihood of starting week one. But it's just not really anything to me that Bryce Underwood did not play well. Because as many of you know, Garrett Nussmeier had to play some as a true freshman. And it wasn't bad, but it also wasn't great. Let's go to Alexander. The game, a trick play with 15 seconds left to stat pad. That was interesting. They ran a reverse lateral wide open touchdown. I will say, I do give Michigan credit for actually showing the fans something, unlike some other teams. I'm glad LSU did it. Other schools like Nebraska saying, well, we don't want to give anything away. Let's go to Sibley. With revenue sharing, LSU will give an offer salary and tell the player that LSU is not responsible for NIL. Then the player is free to get an agent and look for a deal. Will this work? Okay. So let's talk about revenue sharing and all of that. Once again, I'll try and get Matt Brown on the shows. He's just excellent at this stuff. But let's start with NIL as is. There's going to be discussions of what you want to do as far as divvying out the $20 million for all your sports. Obviously, most of it's going to go to football and basketball and baseball. And then, of course, you're going to give quite a bit of it out to Kim Mulkey and let her do what she does best, okay? But then after that, you do have to decide who gets what. Now, you're already deciding that, but how much is this player worth, okay? Now, to Sibley's point, as far as actual name, image, and likeness deals, any amount of money that you get over $600 has to go through Deloitte, I think is the name of the firm. It has to go through this clearinghouse, if you will, of judges, or I don't know the right word, for you to qualify. Do I think actual name, image, and likeness deals will continue? Yeah, they will. But what about name, image, and likeness in terms of salary? All right. Now, the one thing I would say as far as Matt is concerned is he made the same point that happened to me on a lower scale, is that so many people that did actual name, image, and likeness deals did not get ROI on those name, image, and likeness deals. They just didn't. And why is that? Well, for one, some of them were successful. Some businesses did come out in the green. But a lot of it is because of PR. A lot of it is because of the news. A lot of it is to remain in good standing with the university. All right. But so many players don't have the needle moving potential without those three letters. All right. I saw, especially at the beginning of the name, image, and likeness world, that there were quite a few backups that were getting really good NIL deals from pretty big corporations. And I was like, there is no way he's got 3,000 Instagram followers and he doesn't play. And he's nowhere close to playing. Still make good NIL money. And I was like, there's no way that this company is getting ROI out of it. That wasn't their goal. All right. So there were quite a few people that weren't happy that they were not getting the ROI that they were expected. Now, some get a lot out of it because they jumped on it quickly. So let's take someone like Gordon, who has given out millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. He might not have gotten like just direct ROI for giving Alyssa Del Rosario, who's not even with the program anymore, a big NIL check or whatever, or however much it was. But it was beneficial to him because he got known and labeled as the NIL guy, the guy that was keeping LSU together, the guy that was actually supporting all these athletes. It really made him look good, like unfreaking believably good. So, yeah, I do think as far as like the NIL deals, that the actual salary that's about to be given to players is a good thing. I know a lot of people don't like that, but I do think it's a good thing because most kids are looking for just that. Okay? Most of them, they're just looking for a salary. They're not there to sell products. Now, will this work? Yes, I do think the revenue sharing era is going to make a lot of this better. I do. I really, really, really do. Now, it will become Wild West paying players more than what the school is actually giving them. But we'll see what happens. Really good super chat. Ole Miss gets a transfer running back. Damian Taylor had 1,000 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns last year. 1 year of eligibility left. 1 year. /420 on Easter. Resurrection Day. For a lot of us. light up day for some of you. Also, very happy birthday to Jay Johnson. Let's go, Sibley. I think the goal is to stop pay for play, then like other students that can cut a deal. Yeah, they do not want NIL to be pay for play. I have undergraduate students to start major firms, so athletes will have the same opportunity. Yeah, I mean, what I would heavily consider, if money really was a big deal for me, okay, then I would just go to wherever or whoever's paying me the highest. But I would also consider which brand could further my brand. And I understand this will come off, once again, as a very pro-LSU argument. But there are players that have barely played at LSU, and they have developed huge social media followings. They don't play. I don't think people understand. 50,000 Instagram followers, it's not a lot, but it's something. It's hard to get to that number. And there are many that get there, and they don't play. Not even in football. Women's basketball. It really does help. So, like for Nico, you know, there was so much goodwill he had built up with Tennessee, even though behind the scenes, he was a constant headache to deal with. Now all of that's out. All of that is out. And it's kind of like the same thing with Isaiah Bond. Isaiah Bond would have been an Alabama legend from now until the end of time. Catching the greatest pass caught in Iron Bowl history. The fourth and whatever it was to beat Auburn. Well, on your way out, for a few extra bucks to go to Texas, you spit in the faces of all those Alabama fans. You say what you said about Jalen Milroe and you're out. There's nothing wrong with playing at Texas. Texas is a big brand. Go for it. But understand, I mean, you were an Alabama legend. People freaking adored you. So I would seriously consider, you know, is it worth me transferring and losing all the goodwill of all these fans that have been behind my back for so long? And one fan base you do not want to cross is Tennessee. I've said it plenty of times. And I understand I am a Tennessee YouTuber when I'm not doing LSU stuff. Their fans are great. Their fans are so great. But they're also visceral. They are freaking ruthless if you're on their bad side. And Nico has learned that. Oh, it's huge. Huge. Opening for Boss Man D'Lo. Big deal. Let's take a few more. Once again, if you super chat, we'll keep it going all night. Don't forget, we got a Will Campbell video coming out tomorrow. Hope you love it. It'll be out around 6, so be on the lookout for that. It's about when we normally drop our Monday videos, okay? Alexander says the SEC needs to change the can't transfer to other SEC schools in the spring portal. They are the only conference that does it. Strong disagreement. Strong disagreement there. All right. I think that should be common for all teams. that you can't go from one team in your conference to the other during the spring portal. Number one, it's not that you can't go from SEC to SEC. You can do that in the winter portal. But I'm not wasting my spring portal reps on you. And then you learning our new playbook, new system, new chemistry, just for you to go to another school in my own conference that we might have to play. I love that rule. You are given so much autonomy as a player now. Go for it. Enjoy your freedom. Enjoy doing whatever. There's got to be limitations. If anything, we should be pushing for more guardrails, not less. Isaiah Rakes. Oh, yeah. Followers or something. How good was Isaiah Rakes this year? I think he actually ended up being pretty solid. Who remembers Philip Bleedy, who we lost out to Auburn? Actually turned out to be pretty solid. So there you go. All right, y'all, that's going to just about do it for me. Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter get their jersey retired. Travis Hunter, sure, not Shedeur. There's one player I think that's better than Will Campbell in this NFL draft, and it's Travis Hunter. And that's it. I'm taking Will Campbell over every other one. Now, if I need a quarterback, then yeah, I would seriously consider taking Cam Ward number one. I don't know. I think Travis Hunter's a real deal. I think if I'm the Titans, I'm considering Travis Hunter number one. Yeah, Pierce. I can get down with that. You could transfer to another SEC school that's not on your schedule the next year. But once again, you can do it in the fall. You can go wherever you want in the fall. No, there is no going back for Nico. Especially when Pate aired out that he was going to sit out of a playoff game. I am donezo. Now, big thanks to Zion Imaging and the 360 Spin Booth Experience. Got a lot of fun stuff lined up for you for the next couple weeks, so we'll talk to you soon, okay? NS Power Hour LSU. Boom! And tonight on a glorious Easter, we're having some leftover brisket. Let's go. Let's go.